Actually, get to begin Sefer Nachum today after a little bit more discussion. But before we do that, since it is the second day of the month of Elul, then we have to, as always, wish everybody a Shana Tova, and may in the Zechut of our learning, may we all have a Shnat Chayim and a Shnat Briyot, Nachat, from our children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren, all good things for the coming year, which is approaching very rapidly. There's a countdown. So as an introduction to Sefer Nachum last week, we tried to bridge the time between the Nevi'im that we just finished learning or finished learning, that we learned and did not finish, because you always have to go back, but that we did make a first attempt. We wanted to bridge the history between that group of Nevi'im and the Malachim that ruled at the time, and the king and the Nevi'im that we're going to begin learning now, that we can put in a group of three, because historically they fit together in this group of three: Nachum, Habakkuk, and Zephaniah. And I think you will agree with me if I say to you they are the least well-known of the Nevi'im in Tanakh. I truly believe that they are the least well-known. I don't think there's a Haftarah from Zephaniah. There is one Haftarah from Habakkuk, and I don't think there's a Haftarah from Nachum. Ovadja there is. There it is. The Haftarah of Vayishlach. Ovadja. Who said Ovadja? Somebody said Ovadja. Oh, okay. Ovadja is the Haftarah of Vayishlach.
No, there is no Haftarah.
There's no Haftarah from Nachum. I did not think so. At any rate, we talked about the time. Interesting time that all of the Nevi'im we learned so far in Treyasar lived until the time of the King Chizkiyahu. And the Nevi'im that we are going to learn, that triumvirate that we're about to approach today, that triumvirate lived after the time of Chizkiyahu, and they did their Nevuah during the time of Menashe, Amon, and perhaps some of them into the time of Yoshiyahu. We talked about the fact that after having a Melech Tzedek, Chizkiyahu, who witnessed the amazing miracle of the army of Ashur being stopped outside of Yerushalayim, and you would think that the people would have been ready for a huge return to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, after that, because of the situation in the world, I'm putting that in deliberately, because of the situation in the world, there was a definite downturn in the religious condition of Malchut Yehuda, in which they really did, under Menashe, return to a lot of idol worship, a huge amount of idol worship, if you remember, including Mizbechot, to idols in the Beit HaMikdash itself, an idol in Kodesh Kodeshim, all kinds of horrible, a sun disk in Kodesh Kodeshim, all kinds of horrendous things that were in the Beit HaMikdash in the time of Menashe and of Amon. And yet we said, and we didn't really do it in the text, and I'm not, there was a tremendous return to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the time of Yoshiyahu, who became king as a very young boy. He was 8 years old when he became king because his father was assassinated. He was assassinated by a group that had some reasons nobody knows why they assassinated him. But then it would seem that there was a groundswell movement from the nation in which they said, we need to get back to who we are. Something happened in all Am Yisrael. And it says, Vayikru Am Haaretz, and the ordinary, the people as a whole, took Yoshiyahu and made him king. They wanted to return to the dynasty of David and to really live the way they're supposed to live to an extent. That we'll go into later. The reason that we do the history is threefold. The history at this time is very important. First of all, because I like history and I'm the teacher. And so I make the decision to review the history. That's one. Because otherwise it's difficult to know what the Navi is talking about, because we know that these Naviim don't do very much narrative. They give Musa. There is very little storytelling among these Naviim. We can pick out the stories that we'll have as we continue in this group of three. We have a few more in the next group of three. So that's one reason, because history is important to understand what's going on. Reason two, because what's very important here, what Nachum's topic is, Nachum's thesis, is the downfall of Ashur. The rise, we could say, and fall of Ashur. And so Nachum will complete a cycle that, one moment, that we began with Yonah. And it really makes it nice because we can start really remembering Yonah since Yom Kippur is not so far away. So, it'll take a second. If we think back to Yonah for a moment, Yonah was sent to Nineveh when Ashur was not yet a major power. They were beginning to be a major player in the area. And if you remember, he was sent to them by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, unwillingly, to get them to do tshuva so that they could be a proper tool for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to use. Ashur said Yeshayahu, Ashur Shevet Apo. Ashur is the rod of Hashem's anger. He uses Ashur to punish. After the time of Yonah, we know that the people of Ashur, Nineveh is the capital city of Ashur, the people did a great tshuva. They strengthened, they became the mightiest empire from the beginning of history. And they reached their heights when they did indeed exile Malchut Yisrael in the time of, you know that it happens to me. We're going to take a cough drop, even though I have one in my mouth. In the time that the king of Yehuda was Chizkiyahu. So that's when they reached their heights. Even though the army of Sancheriv was destroyed outside of Yerushalayim, nevertheless, the empire continued with a certain amount of strength. There were two very strong kings after Sancheriv. One of them was Isar Chadan, and one of them was Ashur Banapal. Those are the only two names we know. And they maintained a very strong empire. But, so remember, Chizkiyahu, Menashe, and Menashe was completely under the control of Ashur, from a spiritual point of view, as well as economic, as well as political, until the time of Yoshiyahu, when Ashur suffers a major defeat and is completely absorbed by the empire of Bavel. So that's the history. What Nachum is looking at is the rise and the fall, and especially the fall of Ashur. Okay? So that's the second. How many years after Yonah? That is a very good question. Let's look at, we could get a little bit of a look if we look here. Because if we look at where we see Yonah, one second, we find Yonah at the time of Yehoram, the son of Ahab. If you noticed, it is roughly 852 BCE. Let's take that as a starting point. And Yoshiyahu lived, you know, 852, and the destruction of the Beit HaMikdash, roughly about 500. I'm going before. You have 300 years. You have a good more 300 years from the time of Yonah until...
So Yonah saw something that was going to be happening in 400 years' time?
Excuse me?
Yonah saw something that was going to be happening in...
Yonah did not see. That's a wonderful comment. Yonah did not see that Asher would be destroyed. Yonah saw that Ashur would destroy Malchut Yisrael, and that is less than 100 years, if you look at this, because Malchut Yisrael was exiled in 722 BCE. I'm talking about the BCE years, and Yonah is like not quite 100 years before that, 80 years before that. And so that's what he saw. He did not see that there would be eventual punishment of Ashur as well. And that's one of the reasons that Yonah didn't want to go. Remember, he tavakvod haben. He said, what are you doing to Am Yisrael, HaKadosh Baruch Hu? They don't deserve this. I'm not going. Nahum is going to finish that cycle. Because Nahum, even though he might not have lived at the time that it happened, remember, we had a little question last week as to whether Nahum did indeed give any nevuah during the time of Yoshiyahu. He gave nevuah about something that happened in the time of Yoshiyahu, but it might not be when he was actually speaking. He might have been speaking earlier on during the times of Menashe or Ammon. But he did talk about the total destruction we're going to see in the Mefarshim in a minute. The total destruction of Ashur, which took place towards the end of the time of Yoshiyahu, roughly 40 years before the destruction of the Beit HaMikdash by Bavel. Roughly 40. I think they said 46. Something in that area. The third reason to learn history is something that really should give us a little bit of a positive feeling, which is, as we learn Nevi'im, we get very discouraged sometimes, because it seems like the Nevi'im are over and over and over again trying to get Am Yisrael, whether it is Malchut Yisrael or Malchut Yehuda, they're trying to get them to do tshuva. They are trying to avert the great catastrophes that we know befell them. And yet they do not seem to really have a great effect. And it gives us a discouraging feeling. Why are we learning this if it really didn't have a great effect? And we know, on the one hand, that the Nevi'im were not just speaking to the people of their generation, but they were speaking to us as well. We need the message. But there is also an underlying message that we get from Nahum, that we get from these Nevi'im, that we get from the fact that after having an evil king, there is a Melech Tzadik that rises from time to time, and we learn that those kings who were Tzadikim were very much affected by the Nevi'im of their time. We know, for instance, that Chizkiyahu was very affected by Yeshayahu, who was the great Navi of his time, and Micha, we know, lived at that time, and Amos and Hosea. We know that Yoshiyahu, we know from the text that he was affected by Yirmiyahu, but there were some Nevi'im that are not mentioned in Sefer Melachim by name, or in Sefer Divrei HaYamim by name that affected Yoshiyahu even before Yirmiyahu got his nevuah, when he was just king for a few years and he was still very young. And we are assuming that it was the words of, whether they were still alive or not, the words of Nahum, Habakkuk, and Zephaniah. And so the fact remains, I see your hand and I will recognize you in a moment. And so one of the lessons that we get from this overview that we did of the history of the time is that the Nevi'im did a lot of good. And we shouldn't be totally discouraged, because it's from these little germs of light, right? Hashem Ori, the Yish'i. Hashem, from it brings us the light, and through the light we come to the Yeshua. So those were the three reasons that I felt that it was important to go through a little of the history. Yes?
I believe you said that these kings, they already were occasional, these occasional kings were tzaddikim. So I believe you said that the Nabi, certain Nabiim, were able to affect those kings. But what about any Nabi who can affect somebody who's not a tzaddik? Isn't that what a Nabi is supposed to do? Not affect people who already are tzaddikim, but people who are less than, like not ready.
Well, these kings were tzaddikim because the Nabiim affected them. It's not, yeah, I'm sorry, I didn't make that clear. Yes. And yes, there was an effect on the people. It just wasn't enough. It wasn't enough. We'll learn more about it as we go into these Nevi'im. Okay, you know what we're going to do? We're going to start the Nevi. Yes. And it's three prakim. Nachum is very short. Nachum, all of these Nevi'im are short. The next Navi that we have that will be a little bit longer will be Zechariah. But these Nevi'im will be very short. So we have Nachum, and we have the opening pasuk that we looked at last week, which is Masa Ninveh. Masa. Masa, remember, is a nevuah that is a burden, a difficult nevuah, a nevuah of punishment. That's why it's called a burden. For the Navi, it's a burden, because he's giving a difficult message. Sefer Chazon Nachum, this is the book of the visions, right? The vision of Nachum, Ha'el Koshi. And we don't really know what that Ha'el Koshi is. We assume it's the city he came from. The only problem is we can't find it on any map. We can't find it in any atlas, historical atlas. But it would seem that this Nachum is identifying himself by the city that he came from. I want to read you the Targum Yonatan here, even though it's a little bit difficult. You know, Targum Yonatan is in Aramaic, and you have to play with the words a lot. And sometimes you have to take your nice, big, fat Jastrow dictionary to understand it. But he gives something away that's very important. So I'm looking at the Targum Yonatan, and it says, Mital kas dilavat la'ashka'a yat ninve. Mital is just like masa, a burden. Mital. Something like you're carrying, like metaltalim, right, that you carry. Metal. Kas dilavat is the cup of punishment. La'ashka'a yad Ninveh, to give to Ninveh to drink. In other words, this nevuah is a difficult nevuah that the Navi is giving, which tells us about the cup of punishment that is given to Ninveh to drink. I love that metaphor.
So that's the answer to Yonah.
It's definitely the answer to Yonah. Wait, you'll see, it'll be even more clear. Definitely. But the cup of punishment, you know, the idea of drinking the cup, which Yirmiyahu uses that metaphor of drinking the cup of punishment, or drinking the cup of Yeshua. as like not only experiencing it but internalizing it. That's the idea of drinking, you know, taking it in. And so this Navi, it says, is giving us a masa of the cup of punishment that is being given to Ashur. Yes. It's not really a nechama, because I want to remind you of something that you know, Marcel, which is that we do not drink a full cup of wine at the Seder, because, remember, we drink a cup of wine, but we take out a little, because... I hear you, but I want to also remind you of something interesting, and that is that I checked it myself, that whenever the other Nevi'im talk about the punishment of the other nations, if you will look, you will see that they start by saying Masa. In other words, this is punishment. It's punishment for them, no matter what that means, because what HaKadosh Baruch Hu was saying, we're going to get to it, is who gets punished? He who deserves it. Who gets rewarded? He who deserves it. Let me finish the Targum Yonatan, because he makes it very clear. So he says, this is the nevuah of the cup of punishment that's given to Nineveh to drink. Milakadmin itnabe ala yona bar amitai neviya midigat chefer. At first, we heard the nevuah of Yona ben Amitai, who came from the city of Gat Chefer. Vitavat mechova'a, and he demanded that they do tshuva. Uchado de osifat lemechete, and here, because they continue to sin, tov ve'itnabe Allah Nachum, we return, and Nachum gives nevuah. Mi beit Koshi, Nachum from the house of Koshi. Yonatan thinks it's his, El Koshi is his family. The punishment as we see written in this book. So what Targum Yonatan is really doing, he wants to make sure we know what's going on. So he really brought it very clearly to our attention, and he's saying, this book is telling us about the punishment of Nineveh. We know that at first we read the nevuah of Yonah ben Amittai, who got them to do tshuva, but because they continue to sin afterwards, they were then punished and destroyed, and we read about it, Bohadein Sefer, Sifra, in this book. We read about their punishment. And so, there's an interesting beginning. Look at the beginning, okay? Oh, wait a minute. I want you to do the Rashi, sorry. I want you to do something here. Yes, just a little historical piece before we continue. Al Zaro Shel Sancheiriv Nitnabe Nachum. Nachum. Nachum is giving nevuah on the descendants of Sancheiriv, Uvimei Menashe, and it's during the time of Menashe the king, Kamosha Matsinu B'Seder Olam, as we found in the book, the Medrash Seder Olam, Me'osh Nifrali Yisrael Me'oivehem, V'gam adayin ata no kemhu. That Hashem is going to help Yisrael by punishing their enemies, and we will see here that Hashem does punish those who do evil to Yisrael. I wanted to just read that from the point of view of that according to Rashi, it takes place in the time of Menashe. The Malbim, which I am, don't be shocked, I'm not going to read to you. The reason I'm not reading it to you is because it is very long, and it is very confusing, and gives a lot of names. So if you want to learn the names of some kings of Ashur, please feel free and look at the Malbim for yourselves. What he's doing is, he's saying, based on the psukim that we're going to learn now, that there were major, more than one major defeat of Ashur. Look at the pasuk with me first. Kael kano v'nokem Hashem. Hashem is a zealous God and a vengeful God. Nokem Hashem uba'al chema. He is a zealous God, and a God, chema, is anger. What kind of anger is chema? It's what is inside, right? It's burning inside. Chema cham, burning inside. Nokem Hashem litzarav. Hashem is vengeful. He takes nekama on his sarim, his enemies. V'noter hu le'oivav. Remember, lotikom v'lotitar? Noter is where you don't forget. You hold it inside. So he holds that anger for all of his enemies, and we're going to learn more about this pasuk in a minute. Don't think that you're going to finish it in 2 minutes. Say it again. There were at least three nekamot, because look at the word nokem, todah. That was beautiful, Marcel. So essentially, we're going to see two reasons why the word nokem is used three times. One of them, as Marcel just said, and as I started saying, the Malbim will go into it in detail. We know that there was the major miracle in the time of Chizkiyahu, where the army of Sancheriv was destroyed outside of the walls of Yerushalayim. That was clap one, forgive my language. That was strike one. Ooh, three strikes. How interesting. We didn't know that baseball is based on Navi, but now we know. Yes, no wonder I liked it so much. So we have strike one, was in the time of Chizkiyahu. According to the Malbim, strike two was quite early on in the time of Menashe, when the early descendant, the first descendant of Sancheriv, the first king, that Isar Chadon, was still very powerful. He was extremely arrogant, that Isar Chadon, and he trusted in his own power a lot. So much so that he was a little bit of a reveler. He was drunk half of the time, and he really, you know, celebrated his strength. And so there was a victory over him by the early kingdom. It wasn't yet an empire, of Bavel. That was strike two. And strike three was finally in the times of Yoshiyahu, as we mentioned, when Bavel was really strong. And if you remember, Mitzrayim tried to get in between and get together with the army of Ashur and destroy the power of Bavel. And the king of Mitzrayim missed his appointment. Yirmiyahu said, Echer et hamoed. And he came too late, because the army of Bavel wiped out completely the army of Ashur in a place called Carchemish, which is probably southern Turkey. Carchemish. And so that's strike three. So according to the Malbim, one of the reasons for the three times that you have the word nokem is that there were three major strikes against Ashur before Ashur was finally eliminated. Another thing that the Malbim says, which is very interesting as well, is if you remember, when the king of Ashur exiled Malchut Yisrael, the northern kingdom, He came in three waves. There were three different attacks. He came and exiled some of the tribes. He came and exiled more of the tribes. And then the third time, he totally emptied out Malchut Yisrael. And we know what he did. He mixed populations, brought other populations in, and scattered the population of Malchut Yisrael all over the northern Middle East. Way out. Northeast, really, I should say, the Northeast. So either there were three strikes against Ashur before they were finally finished, or there were three in return for the three strikes against Malchut Yisrael. Let's look at something that I thought was interesting. So again, the pasuk, Kael kano v'nokeim Hashem, nokeim Hashem u'bal chemam, dividing it into three. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a zealous God and a vengeful God. He is a zealous God and one with chema, right? With a kind of heat, anger that he's holding in. Nokeim Hashem letzarav v'noter hu lo'ivav. And he does something called nekama for the people that are called tsar. And he does something called netira for the people that are called oyev. And there's a difference, which you know Malbim will be discussing, between a tsar and an oyev. So let's look, b'vakasha. So I'm going to read now from the Malbim on this pasuk, if you don't mind. I didn't read you the first one. I was good to you. That's okay. So he says, Tchila yomar hatza'av haktama el sifro. This is like an introduction to his sefer. He starts with an introduction. We have a two pasuk introduction to the sefer of Nachum. We didn't do the second pasuk yet, just the first. And he says, Hashem kael kana v'nokeim. First part, right, of the pasuk. Ratza lomar sheyesh bo shnei midot. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has two characteristics. Aleph, lekanei al kvod shemo hamechulal, that he is zealous for the honor of his name when it is desecrated. And bet, linkom al harash na'aseh lenegdo, to take revenge for what is actually done. So the first thing he's a kano for is for his reputation, his name, desecrating Shem Hashem. And the second, the evil acts that are actually done. V'yesh hevdel b'nehem. And there's a difference between the two. Shebitzad shenokem al hara'ah she'asu harisha'im b'poal. Because from the point of view of the evil that evil people do actually, in other words, they actually accomplish, lo ya'arich af. He is not slow to anger. He doesn't wait. When it comes to actions, says Malbim, when people do actions, HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't wait to punish. Rak nokeim Hashem. He takes a revenge. Yinkom tekef, right away. Kidei shelo yatmidu b'ra'atam v'yacharivu et ha'olam. So that they don't continue their evil and come to destroy the whole world. In other words, when it comes to action, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu reacts immediately, it says. Avol b'tzad shehu kano el kvodo. But from the point of view that he is zealous for his honor, a no-no came taketh. He doesn't take revenge immediately. Rakhu ba'al chema. But he has a anger burning in him. She geder ha-chema Hu sheshomer hakaas belibo. The meaning, geder, is like, you know, what it really means, is that he's keeping the anger inside him, belibo, in his heart, ve'eino motzio el hapoal, and he doesn't bring it to action, la'anish alav sheze yikra b'shem af. So af is where he acts right away, and the chema is where he waits. He's slow to anger. He gives the person a chance. And what the Malbim is saying is, when it comes to somebody who is acting, who is doing, they have to be stopped. Where it comes to somebody who is causing a philosophical problem, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu perhaps will wait and not punish right away. You're not going to like that, right, Chana Rachel?
No, it doesn't make any sense.
What he's saying here is he's giving a description of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's midot. I just gave something away on that paper. Forget what I just said. No, don't forget it. He's talking about the midot of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He is saying that, and I really can't, you know, test it out, because that would take a lot of research. In other words, to look at every time that we see Hashem act and see if that's, you know, a test case, would be a little difficult. What Nachum is teaching us, is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a kel nokem, but that he sometimes acts in somewhat different ways. When the value judgment of HaKadosh Baruch Hu kiviyachol is that somebody needs to be stopped before they go further and do too much destruction, that's when he is, when he uses charon af. Do what he says, charon af is where he acts immediately. Where there is not so much difficulty because they are not destructive actions, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu would be more likely to be marech af.
Is it possible, the Malbim is saying this about the punishments that happen, by the way, he's talking about on a national level, like Germany, that was stopped before to destroy the world, but what Baruch Hu is saying, that to him, that's referring to individuals. When it comes to individuals, it's a different story.
That's interesting. It's an interesting idea, but I don't know what to answer you. It may be. This is according to Nachum. Nachum, he is giving us his philosophy, right? I'm trying to hold my place meanwhile here. Put on my glasses and hold my place. Okay. Umafareshne in Yonim Ela, and he explains these two things. No came hulitzarav. When does he act immediately? When it's a tsar, right? V'noter, remember noter is where you hold it in your heart. Hu la'oivav, to the people who are called oyev. Ki yesh hevdel bein tsar uvein oyev. There's a difference between a tsar and an oyev. Shehatsar hu hametzir b'poal. The tsar is causing difficulty in actuality. He is acting. V'ha'oyev hu doresh ra'ato balev. An oyev is somebody who just hates. He wants evil for the other, but he doesn't do it. A no metzir b'poel. And he doesn't actually do it. V'yitziyar tsar she'eino oyev. Im meitzir lo lachana ato shelo mechamat eva. And we also can say that a tsar is not because of some particular anger inside of him. O yev she'eino tsar im eino oselo ra'a v'etzel Hashem ha'osim ra'ot b'poal. Bein Adam l'chaveiro nikra'im tsarei Hashem. So in other words, he's giving another little bit of a difference between an oyev and a tsar. And a tsar, not tsar, excuse me, tsar. That the oyev is somebody who is just destructive and destructive to other human beings. Not destructive to the Kavod Hashem. He's making the differences, okay? If it's destructive to Kavod Hashem, even if he's actively doing something for Kavod Hashem, he's not going to punish so fast. Because when will he punish fast? When it is a tsar specifically for human beings before they do too much damage. So he's telling us a little bit about this particular midah of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Right? The midah of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that he's emphasizing here is Kael Kana. Right? We know, we've heard, we've seen in the Torah, we've seen Kael Kana. Right? HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a zealous God. He's saying, when is he a zealous God that acts immediately? He's a zealous God that acts immediately when the damage is being done to human beings and when the human beings are suffering and something needs to be stopped before the whole world is destroyed. And he is a zealous God in a different way. He is slow to anger when the damage is more to his kavod, and when there isn't a fear that there's going to be a lot of destruction in the world. That is what he's telling us. What is the Kael Kana? I'm telling you right now. Okay? Yes, we have hands. I couldn't tell which hand it was because the two of you are in a direct line of vision. Yes?
Where do you have someone hurting other
He's making a delicate difference between the two of them. If somebody is doing avodah zarah, right? And he's not harming other people, he's just saying, come on, it's fun. Yes?
I find it so fascinating that his nekma extends for the whole world, but not for Klal Yisrael. It's like so interesting because I was thinking, what's the point of punishing that shur only to have Babel finish the job? It's sort of like, okay, so now went on to the next person. So it's not benefiting, the nekama is not benefiting Klal Yisrael. It's somehow just benefiting the world at large.
It's benefiting the world in different ways, but it is in reaction to what Am Yisrael are doing. In other words, from our point of view, is what Am Yisrael are doing. We really had, and this is simplistic. What I'm going to say now is simplistic, and we have to take it away from the simplistic words. And that is, we had an unbelievable opportunity in the time of Chizkiyahu. We had that statement of Chazal, Ratza HaKadosh Baruch Hu Lasot Et Chizkiyahu Mashiach. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to make Chizkiyahu Mashiach, and Sancheriv would have been Gog Umagog. That would have been the cataclysmic end of the world. It would have been that we lived in a messianic age. But you know, we didn't deserve it, because then right after Chizkiyahu, there was a Menashe. Chizkiyahu didn't come to his greatest potential. And similarly, we had like a moment in time with Yoshiyahu as well. At the time of Yoshiyahu, when Yoshiyahu dedicated his life to wiping out the Avodah Zarah all over Malchut Yehuda and whatever part of Malchut Yisrael was inhabited at his time. And when he sent teachers throughout the country to teach the people, he established a whole system of checks and balances in education. And when he sent his army around to check and make sure that people were not sliding back and doing Avodah Zarah. It's like a door opened, and we had the opportunity again to do something very big. But we missed it, and that's why Bavel rose again. Whoa, let's look at the next pasuk. Where are we? Okay, we're still okay. We have Hashem Erech Apayim. I bet you didn't know that was coming. But Hashem is slow to anger. Ugedal Koach. Wow, a little bit different. And great of strength. V'nake lo yinake. And he will sometimes completely wipe the slate clean, and at other times he will not. Yinake, wipe, right? Erase. Hashem b'sufa uv'sa'ara darko. Hashem's way is coming in a storm, and like in a windstorm. Sufa and sa'ara are storms, and a windstorm, a storm with rain and without. V'anan avak raglav. And the clouds are like the dust at his feet. So Hashem, when he acts, he comes like a storm. That could have a lot of different meanings, can it? Think about the metaphor. He comes like a storm, and it's like he's walking on the clouds with the dust under his feet. So one idea is swiftness. Another idea is power. Think of a storm. And a third idea is that he operates within nature. That when HaKadosh Baruch Hu does a miracle, it is within the parameters of nature, but then it goes a little further. And so HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes the prerogative to stretch nature. And so that metaphor is a very interesting one, but let's see if we can understand the pasuk a little bit. I don't know where I'm up to. Okay. I didn't finish the previous Malbim, but that's okay. Hashem Erech Apayim Be'er Inyan Hanatira. He is now explaining what it means, the noter, right? The keeping it inside. Shebazehu Ma'arich Af Ve'eno Ma'anish Tekeh. That quality is the quality that he is slow to anger and doesn't punish immediately. And it's because he is great of strength, he has huge strength. Who said that? Moshe Rabbeinu. When did Moshe Rabbeinu say that? When he's talking to Hashem about the sin of the Meraglim. And he doesn't want, he is begging Hashem not to destroy the entire nation at that time. And what does Moshe say? He says, Va'ata yigdal na koach Hashem. Rabbanu Shalom, use that midah that you spoke about that's called koach. Lemor, you know what the koach is? Hashem Erech Apayim. You know, it's not so easy to be Erech Apayim. Try it for yourself. Isn't it, you know, amazing sometimes to just be slow to anger, right? You get really mad, right? And you're going to not react. Wow. That takes a lot of koach. So what he's saying is that ugdal koach is really describing the ability not to act, not to react immediately. The ability to be Erech Apayim, the ability to be noter. Not to no came, but to hold it in, right? Ha'arachat ha'af Mora al Goldel Kocho Lisbol Ata because that you really need a lot of strength to be slow to anger, to hold it, to keep it in, to suffer, so to speak. Ulaha'anish tamid be'etcha yirtseh. And to punish later, at the time that he wishes, at another time. Ki basar v'adam e'efshar lo la'arich apo mitzad kotzer koach lisbol. Because sometimes a human being, it made me feel so good to read this last night, because sometimes a human being doesn't have that koach to really be able to be that slow to anger, to withhold the reaction to the anger, because he has kotzer, short, less koach to lisbol, to tolerate what's going on. The human being doesn't have sometimes enough strength to do that. Umitzad shemit yorei shelemachar lo yiyeh b'kocho la'anish ki ein kocho matmid. And also the human being is sometimes afraid to let it go because he's afraid that maybe tomorrow he won't have the strength at all to react. He won't be able to react the way he could now when he's in the midst of the anger. Aval Hashem, mitzad shehu rav koach. But Hashem, from the point of view that he has a lot of strength, ma'arichaf, is able to be slow to anger. U'b'chol zot, but nevertheless, v'nakeh lo yinakeh, the next thing here, sometimes he wipes the slate clean and sometimes doesn't. Ki sofo la'anish u'la'ashmid et oivav eit itmale satan. Because in the end he is going to punish his enemies at the time that they deserve it, that they fill, satan means that they fill the quota of the evil that they're doing. In other words, what does it mean to be ma'arichaf? It doesn't mean you forget about it. It means you give them a chance. You're giving the other person a chance to stop doing what they're doing that's destructive and to understand that it's wrong. But if they keep doing it, then nakeh lo yinakeh. Hashem is not going to wipe the slate clean eventually unless they truly deserve it by no longer doing what it is that they're doing. V'ratza bazeh Shema Sheherich Hashem Leninve. We're getting to the point. See? May eight nibo aleha yona. And what he wants to say, Nachum, the Navi that we're learning now, what he wants to say in this, that the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was slow to anger to Ninve from the time that Yonah gave his prophecy and gave them the opportunity to do tshuva. Hagam she'az lo shavu rak min ha'chamas asher b'kapehem. Remember at that time when we learned Yonah, we learned that they did tshuva not on the Avodah Zarah, but the chamas, the evil that was in their hands. Chamas is like gezel, right? Stealing the way they treated each other, that they did tshuva. Remember, they repaid anything they ever borrowed, they repaid anything they stole. If they stole a board, they took down the whole house. But it says, Chamas asher b'chapehem. V'lo shavu me'avodat Elohim acherim k'mo shekutuv sham. And they didn't do tshuva from idol worship, as it is written there, and we did a lot of discussion on it. Ki al avodah zarah ukfira ukchashat ha'emuna mamtin ad shemalei satam. He's giving the example now of what you were asking before. HaKadosh Baruch Hu forgave Nineveh at the time that he forgave them because they did tshuva on the Bein Adam Chavero sins that they did, the stealing, the violent acts. That was the word I was looking for before about Hamas, is the violence between them. But we know, if we look at the Psukim, that they did not stop the idol worship. And that's where the Ma'arich Af came in. That's what we learned. That's what you were disagreeing with me before. The fact they did idol worship, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was giving them a chance. He did not punish them. He allowed them to continue. He allowed them to strengthen. V'lo shilem avonam ad hena. And he didn't pay them for their sin until this time. Rak al hachamash shebazeh nikraim b'shem tzarim ratza l'ha'aviram tekef ba'od arba'im yom. Remember what Yonah said? Od arba'im yom v'nin v'necharevet. He was trying to get them to do tshuva on the Bein Adam L'Chavero, the violence between man and his fellow man, in 40 days. In other words, he's pushing them to do it right away because otherwise he would have had to take vengeance immediately because those were very destructive acts. Al kein hitziya midat Hashem v'han hagato, ba'onshei harisha'im ve'eich herich lahem af ad shebakitza. That's why this Navi now Nachum is explaining to us the true midot of Hashem in a way that we should understand them. In a way that we should understand why is it that HaKadosh Baruch Hu sent Yonah to get them to do tshuva. Why is it that HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't say, ooh, 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 they're still doing Avodah Zarah? What was going on all these years, as Marcel was asking, how much time was it from the time of Yonah till eventually Ashur is destroyed? That was Hashem Ma'arich Af. That is what the Navi is saying. I want you to understand what it means when we talk about the midot of Hashem and we say that Hashem is Erech Apayim. So in these two psukim that we haven't even finished, and we're going to have to go on with next week, and I'll tell you what's on those papers, but we won't get them now. What he's trying to do now is he is explaining to us all of those questions that we might have had when we were learning Sefer Yonah. What was going on with this nation? What is HaKadosh Baruch Hu doing with this nation Nineveh, this nation Ashur? Along comes Nachum and he says, be ragua, be calm. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is watching all the time. HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows what was going on in Nineveh. And what he was doing is, when it came to the actions Bein Adam L'Chavero, he had to do something right away, and that's why he sent Yonah. When it came to all the other things, he was Ma'arich Af, until the point that we are talking about now, which is the eventual total destruction of Nineveh. I found this, we didn't do the Erech HaPayim quite yet, we didn't finish it. What I want to point out to you for you to think of till next week is that many of the Nevi'im that we learned here in Treyasar mentioned different parts of the Midot Hashem. Each one of them emphasized a different aspect of the midot that HaKadosh Baruch Hu revealed to Moshe Rabbeinu when he gave him the second luchot. Remember, Moshe Rabbeinu said, Hareini na'at kvodecha. How can I go on as the leader of this great nation if you don't tell me clearly how you operate? It's not very clear, is it? But the interesting thing is, but this is the interesting thing, Moshe taught us Hashem, Hashem, Keil, Racham, V'chan, and Erech HaPayim. I'm not going to go into the whole thing because I'll make a mistake. And then we had Yoel say something. We had Yonah say something. We had Micha say something. We now have Nachum. It is really interesting. So I put them all on a piece of paper so that next week, in Yirtzeh Hashem, after we learn these two psukim, we could look at why the Nevi'im each emphasized a different aspect. And maybe then we'll understand that perhaps it's too hard for us to take all of them together. After all, it's 13. That's a lot. It's a big number. And so we see that the Nevi'im were trying to teach us more clearly specific aspects of each of those midot according to what their nevuah is, what their mission is, and according to the times that they lived in. Oh, that's true. We could have done. I should have put down Eliyahu. Thank you, Marcel. I should have put Eliyahu in too. We'll put it in. We'll pencil it in. Okay, but. Oh, I'm not teaching next week. 2 weeks from now. Next week, I am not going to be here. There might be a substitute. In fact, there probably will be a substitute. But I'm taking off, guys.
I'm just taking off.
We have a very busy week next week, and I'm giving myself a present. So thank you for reminding me, Martha. But I will not be teaching next week. Just 1 week. See you in two. Toda. And see you later, those of you who come back. Yeah, I'm just going to give those are the papers that I just.
You don't mind if I take one?
No, but we do have to put in the Eliyahu. Ki yadata, what is it? Kano kineti l'Hashem Elokei Yisrael. Eliyahu, he's great. Wow. Thank you, you too.